The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Hallelujah. Now go with me to Matthew 16. And I want to look at verse 13. Now when Jesus went in the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they answered him, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But whom do you yourselves say that I am?" And that's a question I want to ask you here in your assignment today is, who is Jesus to you? This is very important. Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But I tell you, you are Peter, and upon this rock of revelation I will build my church." Now, we have to emphasize that, because the thing about Peter was that he had the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus wasn't saying that he was going to build his church on Peter, who would then become the first pope, as many have said that that was the story. But it was the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the revelation that Jesus will build his church upon, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He says, "Yeah, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, declare unlawful or lawful on earth, must be what is already loose in heaven." In other words, you have to know the mind of God in order to do these things. Can you say amen? Then he sternly and strictly charged and warned his disciples to tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ, which that's far from today. People always want everybody to tell everybody about them. They tell other people about me. But Jesus said, don't tell anybody about me. Some say, I don't understand that. Well, part of the thing was he would have been inundated. There wouldn't have been anywhere to go. I mean, that's one of the reasons he walked on water, was just so he could get away from some people. And he didn't have a Harley where he could just get on a bike and go for a ride. Are you with me? So, from that time forth, Jesus began clearly to show the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the high priests and the scribes and be killed. Which, that's a hard thing to get to know, that the one you love is going to be killed. And on the third day, raised from the dead. And Peter took him aside to obviously instruct him privately. And he began to reprove and charge him sharply. So, yeah, he says, "Yeah, God forbid, Lord, this must never happen to you." So, yes, Peter, you know, he's going to bring, I'm going to sort Jesus out here. I'll get him straightened out. His thinking is totally wrong. And I'm going to tell him, you can't be doing that. Which, let me tell you, when you get on your assignment, there's always going to be people coming around to give you an instruction on what they think you should be doing. Do not listen to them for one second. How many are glad that Jesus did not listen to Peter? Aren't you glad that Jesus never said to Peter, "Peter, you know, you're wise. Where would I be without you? You're right. None of this will ever happen to me." I'm so glad Jesus just didn't even pay attention. Basically, he turned away from Peter and said, in other words, Peter was standing talking to him, so Jesus turned away and made sure Peter was behind him when he said these things. Hello. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? If Peter comes to him, "Lord, no, it's not going to happen to you." And Jesus like just turned like and gave him his his back and said, get thee behind me. Where was it? In Louisiana, we were preaching and they did the song that the church there wrote. And I told Satan to kiss my behind. Yeah. Remember, was it Louisiana? It was Louisiana. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, yeah. And they and they basically used that scripture. Jesus said, get thee behind me. So I told Satan to kiss my behind, yeah. Which would be the Louisiana version of this, you know. Get thee behind me, Satan, you know. Only in Louisiana. Down by the bayous. Amen. How many think it's a pretty good song there? One hand go right up. She liked that one. Come on, be honest. Okay, a couple other people. I thought it was hilarious. I actually had to check the word. What are they saying? I told Satan something about my behind. What are they? Pastor, they're saying, I told Satan, kiss my behind. I said, well, I guess it is a kind of a Louisiana version of the scripture where Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me. And here's what he said, you are in my way. So what will happen when you go on your assignment is that there'll be many things that will try to get in your way. And you're going to have to tell some people, you're going to have to get out of my way. I'm not backing off. Somebody said, why would somebody try to talk me out of my assignment? Because they can't see what you see. They can't see what you see. Jesus said, you are an offense and a hindrance and a snare to me. This is like one of the closest people to him. So where is this going to come from? If you're going to have any problems, where's it going to come from? Huh? Come on. From sometimes the people that are the closest to you. And why was he a hindrance? He says, because you are minding what partakes not of the nature and quality of God, but of men. In other words, he's saying you are focused on natural things and you're not focused on eternal things. So we have to constantly bring ourselves back. The natural, the eternal. The natural, the eternal. The natural and the eternal. So, number one, who is Jesus to you? Is he the Christ, the Son of the living God? If he is, you're going to be great. You're going to do fine. You're going to be, the gates of hell will not prevail against you armed with that revelation. And you have the authority and the keys to the kingdom. You will be persecuted because he said you would be. We can read that in verse 20 through 26. This assignment is eternal, not temporal. So, because it's not temporal, the devil's not going to give you a free run up the side. If you were just doing temporal things, why would he worry about you? He'd even help you. Yeah, there won't even be a problem. You need to go and grow that legalized weed. You can make a fast buck. And then they tell you, this is the best weed we've ever had. So persecution shall come. Let's read on down here. When Jesus said to disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests. So many people come along, they want the things of God, but they can't have it because they have their own interests. You can't have the things of heaven and your own interests. Something has to die. He said, and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living and, if need be, in dying also. So in other words, there's that resolve in you. It's not that you're looking to be killed, but there's a resolve in you. If it means death, then so be it. And you've already dealt with that and the outcome of that. For whoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and security here, shall lose it. He'll lose eternal life. Whoever loses his life, his comfort and security here for my sake, shall find it life everlasting. For what should it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? He is blessed life in the kingdom of God. Or what would a man give as an exchange for his blessed life in the kingdom of God? For the Son of Man is going to come in glory, majesty, splendor of his Father with his angels. Now watch this. And then he will render account and reward every man in according to what he has done. So that day is coming when he will come and he's going to reward every person according to what you've done. So I don't know about you. I mean, that's important then. That means I just can't be running around doing my own thing. Oh, come over here. This is a good idea. I watched many people in the ministry. They got this idea and that idea. And I said, what's God told you to do? What did the Lord tell you to do? Come back to what God told you to do. And you'll find that many people get themselves into trouble because the Lord told them to do one thing and they added three other things onto it. And that's where we're going to deal with that in the conference, because you can't have a vision when you're looking at five different things at the same time. Focus. I won't get into that here. But so, who Jesus is to you is going to be the driving force of what you do. If he's Lord of every area of your life, and then you talk to him. He's in charge. So it's what he wants, not what I want. I'm going to be persecuted, so I'm not going to do stuff that's just going to keep me under the radar, and we won't do anything that's going to cause trouble. I mean, there's so many places that would open to me if I just changed the way I am. It's a fact. Even amongst some of the Christian leaders. But you know what? I mean, I get around. I told my wife, I said, there's nothing here I want. There's nothing. I don't see anything here that I want. We have a mandate from heaven, and I'm not going to be distracted. I love everybody. I'll be kind to everybody, but I'm not stopping what we're doing to try to get what they think is of importance. I already know what is important. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be distracted. Say this after me. I will not be distracted from the assignment that God has for my life, for my family, for my children. Persecution will come. Just take that. Don't get upset about it. People are going to talk about you. People are going to make up things about you. I've had books written about me by people who never even met me. And when you read it, you laugh your head off because it's fabricated nonsense. It doesn't matter when it's all said and done. I know I repeat this over and over again, but I had to learn early days. It didn't matter what my name was. Rodney Howard Brown, Rodney Howard Purple, Rodney Howard Blue, Rodney Howard Black, Rodney Howard Pink. It did not matter what my name was. If any name has been criticized, it's Jesus. If any name has been attacked, it's Jesus. The name of Jesus has been attacked more than any other name in the history of the planet. So why would you get offended when your name suddenly, Pastor, they're saying all kinds of things about me. Rejoice. Rejoice. In other words, if they weren't saying anything, then you must have backslidden. Well, but Pastor, they made up all kinds of stories, and I never did that. It doesn't matter. You don't have the time to stop doing what you're doing to run around to try to defend yourself. Well, we heard you did this. Well, you might have heard a lot of things. But obviously, the Lord's still with me. Amen. And the news of my death has been greatly exaggerated. Amen. Don't give place to one little moment, because all of that's done to frustrate you, to get you off of your purpose, where the enemy says, what's the use? What's the use? Look, you're trying to do what's right. You're going over here, and then this attack comes from the side. Forget about it. Just leave it alone. So what does God want you to do? The will of God, the two areas, the known will of God, which we know that when we open the Bible, that's the known will of God. I know that I can't walk around in unforgiveness. So I don't need to say, Lord, if you really want me to forgive this person, please talk to me. Can I just kill him? No, that's not the will of God. That's not the will of God. Yeah, but Lord, in the Old Testament, Samson took a jawbone of his mother-in-law, a donkey, and killed 1,000 of the enemy. Don't you want me to just bring deliverance to people? No, we're not under the Old Testament. We're under the New Testament. So the known will. You cannot have the unknown will till you do the known will. And that's the problem with a lot of people. They're not doing the known will. It's there for them. But they want the unknown. I want the unknown will of God for my life. How is God ever going to get his unknown will to you? The unknown will of God, he already knows what it is. You don't know. How's God going to get the unknown will of to you, to your life, if you're not even doing the known will? That's why you have to make sure that you're doing the known will so that God can give you the unknown will. Can you say amen? You say, what's the known will? To do exactly what the Bible tells you to do. To do exactly what the Word of God tells you to do. And then you expect God to direct your footsteps and lead you and guide you on a daily basis. And that's why this conference, that's why we're doing this conference, starting 2 weeks today, Vision 1-9, is because there's so many different aspects. And I'm traveling, looking at churches. You get there and you can see they're distracted from everything. They're doing 5 different things, and they don't do the 5 things well. Would you rather do 1 thing well than 5 things badly? It's not in the business of doing many, many things. It's about being effective. One of the churches said this last week, and the church has been in existence for over 100 years. It's a long-standing Pentecostal church, and they said this. This was the summation in the morning when I met with the pastor for breakfast, and they said, last night's meeting was world class. They said it was like a holy production from heaven of the highest quality and standard from the start to the finish to mobilize the people for the harvest. And then, when you have people for many years in the ministry and that's what they sum it up to be, then you understand. So obviously we have the church and this church is winning souls. How many people saved this last week? 3,000 people. Last week I think was 4,000 saved. So it's already working here in the city. We believe in God to see this city shaken by the hand of God. Amen. And while we out there like the battering ram, going into places and mobilizing. Can you imagine what's going to happen after 300 cities and hundreds and hundreds? I believe, and I was just believing for 30,000 people to be mobilized. I think we're going to be over 100,000 people that's going to be mobilized between now and the end of 2020 for the harvest of souls. So you say, well, what will happen after the 300 cities? Then we're going to start doing some strategic meetings for week-longs in some strategic cities of the world. Some of you get to come with us on those. Yes. Amen. Amen. Who's coming with us? Yes. Good. We'll have a fleet of planes to carry you. Yes. Now, I've already dealt with this, so I don't need to deal with it. I've already dealt with this next point, hunger and thirst. And I'm going to say this because we went to Matthew 6. What are you hungry and thirsty for? Where's your treasure? Where's your eye? Who are you serving? What are you worried about? And do you trust him implicitly with your life? These are the things that's going to move you on a daily basis wherever you go. And you can actually write this down and use it as a checklist. Every, like a husband and wife or your children, get everybody, oh, daddy, let's do this. Or mommy, let's do this. So, okay, come, let's sit down. Let's talk and talk to them. So where is our treasure? When we built that first house back in 93, we moved in 94, the kids, that was over in the new Tampa area. It was the first house we ever had. We just had apartments and we never had a home. And then there were times we didn't even have a place to go to. We never even had a home. We just put stuff in storage. And then in December, we'd take the month off and stay in a hotel in Orlando and then take the kids to Disney World. We'd get a three-room thing, I think, a Homewood Suites at the Parkway off of the 192 there. you know, and then we'd get a tree and put it up in the thing, and that would be our home for the month of December because we were on the road. We never came home because we were always on the road, and home was wherever we were. But I can remember when we got the house, and it was crazy what happened because I never even dreamed that the Lord would give us a house. You know, we just thought we'd just travel all the time, you know. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, it's time to get a house. And I just wept. I said, Lord, seriously, you want us to get a house? Because we tried to buy a house before when we were based in Louisville. And when we tried to buy a house, it was like every alarm went, you know, like, don't do this, don't do this. So we thought, okay, we don't want to get into trouble. So we just walked away from it. But when we were down here, right after that meeting in Central Florida in March of 93, and then the Lord said, get a house. So I can remember, so we get the plan. It was a nice house over in the New Tampa area on a lake. Actually, in fact, it's a development now that probably has 2,500 homes in it. We were house number, there were only 7 homes. I mean, the owner of the development stayed, there was his house, and then there was an open space, and then our house. So, I mean, we were right there, you know, at the start of this development. And so I can remember I was so busy, 2 meetings a day, that I had to fly into Tampa on a Saturday morning and go look at what they were doing with construction and get on the plane and go to the next city, you know. So I flew back into Tampa and I went to the construction and all the rebar was there and I'm walking through the construction of the house. And so I'm walking around looking at this and it's like I'm coming to the revelation. This is our home. This is our home. I go, we get in a home? And, you know, Adonica never asked me for a house. She never said, I need a house. You can't just take me around like this. She never said a word, you know. And how many know a wife can make things really bad for a husband? How many know that? How many understand that? I mean, a wife, the last thing you want is a contentious woman. You know, it's better to live in a torture chamber than to live with a with a contentious woman, you know, that just goes on and goes on and on, and you'd rather be in solitary confinement with them ripping your fingernails off than live in a house with a contentious woman, you know. So she could have put pressure on me. She never did. She never said a word. Never said anything. She just was going to follow wherever I would go, she would go. And we would load the kids up, and she would homeschool the kids, and Kelly would get medical treatment every day. And I mean, so she's like a superwoman, and never complained. And then they would have to head out of town and drive 3-4 days to get to the next city. And I would have to fly because the meeting would finish on a Friday night, and I had to start Sunday morning. So there's no ways for me to drive to the next city. So she had to load. She'd load up that van with the trailer, with the kids, and drive 4 days across America to meet me in the next city. So that's one of the reasons. I mean, I'm very protective over the family. We said this in the early days. I told people, you can say whatever you want to say about me. You touch my wife and kids, it's going to be good. I just tell you right now. Because people have no clue what they've been through. No clue. And then people that actually come just to get close to your children so they can get close to you. And then when they can't get close to you, they try to find fault with your children so they can find fault with you. This is welcome to the church, but that's how it is. And we don't have angels. We got kids. We never gave birth to angels. Even the grandkids are not angels. Kenneth is now in the repeating stage with AJ. And he's having to say everything 5 times. And the question that's been asked now is why? It's true, isn't it? I love you, boy. But you're just like your father. So I'm walking through the construction of the house. I'm looking, this will be Kenneth's room. Kirsten's room, Kelly's room, our room, you know, just looking at the different things. And I start to weep. I'm standing there weeping. And I said, Lord, I can't believe that I can get a house. I mean, this is like amazing. And then I heard the audible voice of the Lord. And he said, up until that time, he said, you built my house for 14 years. Now I'm going to build your house. It was like it hit me. It hit me like a sledgehammer. Because you didn't make that a priority. You made my kingdom a priority. Amen. When I left the house this morning, I mean, I got home yesterday, and the sun was already up. I was went and sat and had something to eat by the pool, waited for the kids to come. We had a big family day yesterday. I never slept, so through the whole day. And so I crashed at 11 last night, woke up at 7, loaded the last, came to the church. I said goodbye to everybody. He said, see you next week, Saturday, in the early hours of the morning when we get back. And there were times over the years, we've been in there at the house 16 years. There were times that I've only been there 7 weeks in 1 year at the house. As you fly in late Saturday night, come here, preach, and then you're on a plane headed somewhere else. I don't know if people think we come in here from the beach or something. And when we go to cities to go preach, they think we're just coming in from a holiday. We're not. We're working. We're working. We're on vacation. Somebody said we can sightsee. I'm not interested in sightseeing. I still haven't even seen the Grand Canyon. Are you kidding me? I haven't seen the Grand Canyon. Airport, hotel, church, depressed Christians. In 78 countries, and I'll go to some place and say, well, you stayed in this hotel. I don't even recognize a hotel. I don't recognize it. Yeah, you spent a week here. I don't recognize it. You ate in this restaurant. You met me in the restaurant. I looked at, I didn't even recognize anything. I said, did they remodel? Did they? No, you stayed here. I don't remember anything. You could basically I've been doing this now, this is the 40th year. So you can make up a story from 25 years ago and say, I did it. I'd probably say, I did? Wow, I didn't know I did that. I have no recollection of it. So, you know, if you hear somebody say, I have no recollection, I understand what it is. I have no recollection. I don't even know what you're talking about. Because we were just so busy. When you're in 2 meetings a day, 6 days a week, 46 weeks a year, all you do is focus on the main thing. You keep the main thing the main thing. We could not do what we're doing. We couldn't run what is Friday night was city number 83. You can't run to 83 cities. You can't run. I think just since November, it was 43 cities of Europe, 6 in the Caribbean, that's 49, plus another 4 of this last week. That's 53. And there's another 6 about to be added. And I've only missed 5 Sundays at the river. That's not bad. Huh? Come on. Yeah, we only missed 5 Sundays. We must actually love you to think about it. Huh? We actually want to be here. I'd rather be here than any, I don't care if a church seated 20,000. I'd rather be here than anywhere else on the face of the earth on a Sunday morning. I would love it if the Lord would just translate us so we could just be here. We're not doing Sunday mornings on the road. I wouldn't put myself or the team through that nonsense. Amen? So I'm walking through this house. The Lord says, you built my house for 14 years. Now I'm going to build your house. So that goes to show you everything that I'm saying here. Of what we're talking about today is what are you putting your focus on? What are you needing? What is your desire for your family? All that's great, but don't put that as the main focus. Put the kingdom as the first focus. And then all those things will be added. It'll come to pass. You'll write the vision. I'm not going to jump into 2 weeks from now. You'll make it plain. And then you're going to start moving in a direction, but you're moving in a direction guided by the hand of God. As you're focusing on his kingdom, all these things begin to pop. They begin to happen. it feels like divine appointment after divine appointment. And everybody says, boy, you just have favor. Well, you just have divine appointment. And then people say, I don't understand why. Because if you get these things in place, you can have the exact same thing. I just got a call from one of the people that are based, come out of this church, come through Bible school, work for my wife and myself personally, and they're actually in Europe right now. He texts me, can I talk to you, Pastor? Can I talk to you? I said, yes. He said, I think I'm died and went to heaven. I said, what's happening? He said, everything you talk about is happening to me now. He said, I'm having meetings. People are coming from all over. He said, they're driving 3-4 hours to come to my service. He said, I get there, I think, I wonder who they're coming for. Then I realize it's me. And he said, people are coming out of nowhere. And he's like so excited. He said, I now understand for the first time what you're talking about. He said, I keep looking around to see if somebody else is doing this. And he said, it's me. But you know what? They've been faithful. They've been faithful. I mean, I believe they probably were launched in the early part of the 2000s. And so they've been probably, must be, of 12 years of faithfulness and just serving God and doing what God. And if you looked at them, people would probably think they were struggling or whatever. And they went through some storms and stuff, but they stayed focused. And now, I mean, he keeps texting me. It's like his text is smiling at me through the phone, you know. Because he says, everything you're preaching is happening now. I'm seeing it happen. He said, I never thought that I would ever see it. But he says, it's happening now. And I said, yes, it's because you've been faithful. And then I said, now don't let any distractions come. And don't let other people start calling you and try to capitalize on the blessing that God has now given to you. Because they all want to get in now. Hey, can you open the door for me? Can you get me to preach here? And I said, no, God's opened the door for you to preach. On Friday night, I got a text from a minister. He said, I'm going to be in Zurich, and I'm going to be in this city. Do you have any churches I can preach at while I'm there? And I go, I'm not a booking agent. Wow. I can't sit here and book preachers to go preach. There's one thing, people come to ministers' conference, I introduce, say, hey, this is a great preacher, you enjoy me in church. That's different, but we flat out. What do you do? You think I'm sitting here, got nothing to do? Oh, yeah. I'd love to book you. First of all, I never even heard you preach. I know the person, but I've never heard them preach. I don't know what ministry they have. How am I going to book you if I've never heard you? Hey, we'd like to, can I send you this minister? I've known him for about 15 years. How does he preach? I don't know. Never heard him. But he'd be a great blessing to your church. I'm not a booking agent. Do I look like a booking agent? I'm busy. We're working, man. We have time to sit mess around, yeah. So, everybody say, the key. The key, obviously, we've already dealt with that today, to put the kingdom first. Then God says, when you put my kingdom first, I'll give you everything. I'm going to give you everything. I will give you everything that everyone else wants. I'll give you everything else that everyone else wants. When everything means nothing to you, I'll give you everything. Because he knows that he can trust you with it. And that it's not going to distract one bit. We have this week. Then we come into the week of the banquet, and we come into the week of photographs and all this kind of stuff. And then we come into the week of 8 days, and then I'm supposed to take a holiday. I'm supposed to take off. I need to take off. I understand that. Where do you go? Tell me, where do you go? I had friends say, come to Africa. If I go to Africa, if somebody even breathes a word, I'm there. The text will start going, can we have a cup of coffee? So, because my wife, she'll sleep in the morning. She'll get up at 9:30. I don't. I'm up at 5, 6 o'clock. So, because I've got free time. Okay, so I tell people, meet me for breakfast, 7 o'clock. So they come, breakfast, 7 o'clock. They're there from 7 to 8. The table clears. They said again, the next person comes in from 8 to 9. They clear, and then I see Adonica. I'm working. I'm on holiday work. So where do you go? Where do you go on holiday? Where do you go? Some remote island where they have to drop you by parachute, where your cell phone doesn't work. I mean, we can't even go to Hawaii. You go to Hawaii, and everybody working in the hotel, they all know. And they tell the pastor, Pastor Ronnie's here, text, you on the island? You here? Can you preach Wednesday night? I'm here. I'm trying to rest. Please, Pastor, just one meeting. I've just done 1,000. Just one meeting. So for me, I have to prioritize even a holiday. Then it looks like we're making a big thing about a holiday. No, if I don't set it in and I don't purpose and make it just like a meeting, like this is like a crusade, this is like one of the meetings we're doing, and nothing else can stop it, everything else will come to take its place. Like a friend asked me to come on the 2nd of October and come and do some big event in a 20,000 seat. I said, I can't. He said, why? I said, my anniversary is on the 3rd. Yeah, but you've been married how long now? You've been married how long? I mean, you can take her away. I said, no, I can't. That was the problem in the early days. I preached through everything. I preached through birthdays. I preached through anniversaries. And I had to make a decision. I'm going to change that around. That's why we could have done a meeting Monday night. We could have done a meeting Monday night. It was Kenneth's birthday. I took it off just to take him out. Because otherwise you're so busy. Are you with me? You're so busy. So you focused with the mission. You focused, but you got to stop and take time. Like yesterday, Saturday, I should have slept the whole day. But we made it the Saturday for the family, and I probably fit 3 Saturdays into 1 Saturday. I mean, we had a ball. We had 3 Saturdays filled into 1 Saturday. It felt like the longest Saturday you ever had in your life. And I was telling people this morning, I said, there were days I'd come off the road and I had a one day at home and we would be having a barbecue and a pool party at 2 o'clock in the morning. No, I had to preach at the river in the morning, but we had a barbecue and pool at 2 in the morning because that's the only time I'm going to have a time with the kids. At that time, remember, Kelly wasn't able to go on the road, so we just stopped. Lights are on at the house, and we got music playing at 2 in the morning, and I'm cooking meat at 2 in the morning. Somebody said, are you crazy? No, that's the only time. Somebody said, yeah, but it's after midnight. Yeah, but it was only 6 o'clock in the evening in Hawaii, so I just pretended that I was in Hawaii. You have to make the most of the time that you have. The thing you don't have is time. You can't grow time, and you can't rewind back the clock. But you have to put it all around what the mission is, because people sacrifice their family to get somewhere and then they end up and they got no family. Now suddenly you have all the breakthrough that you want to, but your kids don't want to talk to you. Your wife sure doesn't want to talk to you. She's left with some other guy. Your dog even took off and left. And then the only thing you can even find as maybe a little solace is that country and western song. Somebody's rubber-dubbing in my tub, sleeping in my bed, scratching my dog's head, watching my TV. In the world, I don't even know how people in the world make it. I don't know how they make it. Because life without the Holy Ghost, I don't know how they'd live. No wonder they're popping pills and sniffing stuff up their nostrils and inserting things in their ears and other places and injecting things into their veins. No wonder. Because I don't know how people make it without the things of God. Life becomes very worth really nothing. Everybody stands around, laughs, but nobody's happy. Let me tell you what God wants to do for you. The Lord can take you in any room and you stand there and you just be happy. You don't have to meet anybody. You don't have to get with anybody. You don't have to shake anybody's hand. If you can, you will, but you're just happy. Just at peace in the middle of the will of the Lord. Some of you, if you only knew how wealthy you were, you would never have a long face again. If you only knew how wealthy you were. Not then, now. If you only knew how wealthy you were. Because I'm talking about eternal things. Your assignment is attached to eternity. And eternity is attached to your assignment. Everything else doesn't matter. Not important. Hallelujah. Let me close with this. The most important thing you have here, if you married, is your wife and then your children. Nothing more important. Nothing more important. Nothing. And then your grandbabies. And then your close friends. Which you won't have many. You won't have many, but don't be upset about that. Just be happy with the friends that you have. And then be friendly to everybody. Amen? Amen. I say that because people think their friends are the count on Facebook. Do you know that it's impossible to have 1,000 friends? Do you know that it's impossible to have 500 friends? Do you know that it's impossible to have 200 friends? Do you know that when you come down to it, it'll probably be about 12 friends. And even out of the 12 that you get, one will betray you. One will doubt you. Amen. And some will go to sleep on you.
Wow.
In your worst time, they'll be sleeping. One will deny you. Uh-huh. I pray this encourages you. I think the worst is a funeral, when you see everybody that comes to the funeral to say he had many friends. That's not how it works. Funeral is just so some people could actually come to make sure that you did die. People you haven't seen in years and suddenly out of the woodwork there. Just to make sure that you did. So I think a lot of your Facebook followers are there just to keep an eye on you. They're spying. Kenneth and I were laughing. There's this major ministry that reports he's got like 24 million followers on Facebook, whatever. I won't tell you who. And so Kenneth did a research and he said, Dad, probably 21 million are all fake sites. And he said, they're all from India and Pakistan and China and Taiwan and Vietnam and Cambodia. And he said, when you see the sites they're following, he said, there's no ways they're following this ministry. So he should have just been happy with 3 million followers. No, no, he had to go buy another 20 million. Now he runs around Mr. Fakeness. I have 24 million. No, you don't. You're lying dog. You have nobody. Nobody's even interested in anything you're doing. How phony. How phony. Just be real. Just be real. Be happy. You are loved. And God's plan for you is greater than anything else. God's plan for you is greater than some image you can portray. Amen. Come on. Whether people think you a success or not, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just every day you get up and you do exactly what the Lord tells you to do. Every day, just do only what He tells you to do. And then you're happy, you're successful, you're at peace. The Lord's with you. Amen. Is this helping anybody here today? So what I'm feeling between now and next Sunday, we're just laying the foundation. And then when we get into the week, we're going to tweak everything. And there's not going to be anybody coming through vision with blurred. It's going to be clear. You're going to see with an eagle eye exactly what the Lord has for you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Don't look at the temporal things and use them as the problem to why you're not at the place you want to go. There's many distractions and many things that will stand in your way. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at the wind. Don't look at the waves. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Obey Him. You'll come through. You'll come through. You will come through. Amen. Amen. Are you happy? Yes. Turn to your neighbor, say, I'm going to make it. Amen. Turn to the other neighbor, say, a drunk preacher told me I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. Is there a hurricane out there somewhere? Lord have mercy. Father, we just thank you for supernatural protection on everybody, all the property. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed, right across this place. I want to give an invitation today, and not just for you here, but those watching in your homes. While you are here, and people outside are blown away, I want you, just while your head's bowed and eyes are closed, just to look on the inside and ask these questions yourself. Answer these questions yourself. If you today suddenly you stood before the Lord, what would you say to Him? What would you say to Him? If you went home tonight and put your head on your pillow, went to sleep and didn't wake up, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? To know that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And the fact that today, as we talk about eternity, that you can actually make an eternal decision. to tell the Lord, I'm not playing with my life. I'm not playing with my life. I'm not going to settle for a temporary solution for an eternal problem. This is a heart problem that people face, a heart condition. And today he calls you. Today he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He calls you. Will you surrender to him? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior? He loves you. And he stands with arms wide open. And he says, come. You might never have another opportunity. This very day, your life could be required of you. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Will you say, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior. I surrender to you today. He'll come and he'll do just that. He'll save you and your life will never be the same. Secondly, maybe you've come to this place and you gave your life to the Lord, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've lost your first love. You've lost that peace, that joy that you once had. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened and you lost it. But today you say, you know, I'm coming back. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see and you've never dealt with it because no one can see it. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things. But today you say, you know, I need that gone. I don't want that in my life anymore. I don't want that in my life anymore. Today I surrender to him. Will you surrender to him? He loves you so much. He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. It just takes a decision on your part. Maybe it's not hidden. These hidden things, pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, these hidden things clog the heart of man. Maybe it's something outward that everyone could see. People even remind you on the anniversary of the event. To even to the point now where you just say, you know, what does it matter? Everybody knows what I am. And you feel like there's no hope. Who cares? But God is a God of a second chance. God's a God of a new beginning. If you'll surrender your life to him afresh and say, yes, Lord, I surrender. Will you do that today? He loves you. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life, just like this one today, just showed up out of the blue. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. But today you say, you know what? I'm coming back. I'm going to begin again. I'm starting afresh. On this Sunday, this first Sunday, the month of May, I'm starting my whole life afresh. I don't care what people have said. I'm leaving the past behind and I'm starting afresh today. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. It's time to get real. This is not about just coming to an altar and just praying some kind of a prayer. This is the very fact that the Lord is going to do this today. He will come. He will come. He will restore you. He will take out the stony heart and put in a new spirit he'll put in you. Because he loves you so much. But he's waiting for you to surrender. That storm that came against your life. I meet ministers. They tell me. They say we were doing great. They have great ministries. They said we were doing great and this thing hit me like a Mack truck from hell. It came out of the blue. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Why do I bring those up? Because those are the things, amongst other things, that stop people in their tracks. But today, the Lord can restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, even the caterpillar, the canker worm, and the palm worm. Today, God can revive you Acts 3 and verse 19, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of the heat, of reviving with fresh air will come from the presence of the Lord. Today he does that. Will you allow him to do that for you today? And then lastly, you love the Lord, and that's not even a question. But as you're sitting here right now, you are not, you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God. And today you want to know that you know. You want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You want to know, I am saved. If this is you and you fit into these categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Right where you are, quickly, put your hand up now. Say, pray for me. I need Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Slip it up high. God bless you. God bless you. Under the overhang in the dark there, yes, slip your hand up. Another hand right at the back. Another hand over there. Another hand over there. Thank you, lady. God bless you. Right at the back door there. A hand over here. Another hand over here. Another hand over there. Another hand over there. Another hand. Slip it up high and say, yes. Yes, that's me. That's me. That's me. I surrender. I surrender afresh today. I surrender afresh today. Come on. Raise it up high. I want you to look at me now. Please look at me in this whole section. You didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included. In the prayer we're going to pray, quickly, put your hand up and say, include me. Put it up high. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else? This section, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included, put your hand up. Raise up high and say, include me. Anybody else? Anyone else? Slip it up high. Say, include me. Under the overhang, yes, yes. God bless you. This section here, you didn't raise it but want to be included. I want every person that raised your hand to stand right now. Stand all across the building. Stand. Stand right now. Stand right now. Every person. Every person. I want you to come from where you are and come stand in the altar. We're going to pray together. Come. 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 Bring them. Ushers, bring them. Put them right in the front. To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. I want you to look at me right now. We're going to pray a simple prayer. One prayer fits all. Whether this is your first time or you come to recommit your life or you've come to make sure. And I've had the privilege of doing this now many years. And let me tell you, everywhere I go, people come up to me and they tell me where it was. And they prayed the prayer. And now what the Lord's done through them. I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this together with me. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Say this together with me. Say, Father, I come to you. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart, and that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. Thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith, in the finished work of the cross, and by the shed blood of Jesus, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands to heaven. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your Spirit, that on that day no one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation, we pray. Use them for eternity. And on that day when we stand before you, let not one of these precious ones be missing. For even this day, we take them and put them in your hands. Take each one and put them in the hands of the Holy Ghost. And I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, I break every curse, I break every blockage, every hindrance, every devil of hell that would stop them or hinder them. I break it. I break it now. And I set you free by the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now look at me, please. As a servant of the Most High God, by the power of the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the Word of God, and by the awesome power of the Holy Spirit, I tell every single one of you right now, your sins are forgiven you now. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So the Lord wants to use you, and I believe this message today was for you. Today, you're attaching to heaven's purpose. Today, you're getting heaven's assignment for your life. Today. You believe that? I believe that. You believe that? Amen. I'm so glad you came. You feel that? Yeah. See, the enemy always comes and says, we're not needed. That's what the devil always does. You're not needed. And if you want hope to go from people is when they think, well, I'm not needed. All lies. It's all lies from hell. And God didn't just put you here to just eke out an existence on the earth. Get married, have children, try to live what they call the American dream, which is more of a nightmare. And more empty houses than ever before. You can build whatever house you want to. That's not going to make it a home. You can have a wedding on a royal yacht. It's not going to give you a marriage. So everything the world wants is an illusion. You ever walked on a hot day and you see it looks like water and you get there's no water? It's an illusion. It's a mirage. It's a mirage. But today, there is no illusion. Today, this is a reality. And it's a person, and his name is Jesus. And you and him have that personal relationship from this day. Amen?
Amen.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.